www.thebeatsmusic.com.
Army goes for the kill against Major Hassan in Fort Hood. Those horrible slayings, if you remember last November. A mea culpa from the Pope, perhaps. An apology, anyway, over abuse by the clergy. Wow, that story's huge. Let the games begin on financial reform, the debate getting ready to get underway on the Capitol. And the big story continues to be immigration, immigration, immigration. Wow. Falling on deaf ears for the past 4 years, and of course decades before that, finally, because of Arizona, there is no choice but to move forward, I think, when it comes to the elected officials in D.C. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show. Glad you found us. You are locked in loaded here. Perhaps you were looking for flying saucer conversation. And actually, there is some good stuff. So my pal George Norrie, who's on all over the place, probably is talking about evidence of life on Mars. We're going to dive into that as well. But we have some other things to scurry to, including, as I mentioned, the furor over what's happening in Arizona and how all eyes are watching, including Texas. There already is at least one Texas lawmaker who wants Arizona's immigration law for the Lone Star State. This isn't a surprise. I believe I told you this, that I had heard already, as soon as it was starting to brew in Arizona a couple of weeks ago, that California, though they won't admit it, and Texas, I knew for sure that they were asking Arizona about what they were considering at the time. And there are a couple of other states that may jump into the fray, too, but we'll see about that. Because ultimately, there are some new things happening here. Massive lawsuits are being filed. And I really, truly believe when this whole thing came about, the reason was, okay, you're not going to help us, so we're going to help ourselves. We already do have some tough immigration laws, but we're going to make this one really tough and controversial. So we're going to handle it ourselves if you don't come down to our backyard and do something. And to me, that was very effective. It was effective because the governor certainly knew that. And more importantly, the lawmakers there, they knew that was going to happen when the bill went through and ended up on Jan Brewer, the governor's desk, and she signed it into law. So now in Texas, they're saying the same thing, that we want to introduce some tough immigration measures very similar to what they have in Arizona. The Democrats there say, oh, that's going to be a huge mistake, a huge mistake. But there is the push, there is the conversation, and perhaps in the next legislative session, that's something that they'll take up. The Arizona law, it's always worth rehashing this because I get an email at least once a day. I get an email from someone asking me to explain it. In a nutshell, the Arizona law requires local and state law enforcement types, meaning any of the cops, to question people about their immigration status, make it a crime for immigrants to lack registration documents. Doesn't mean walking down the street, you say, hey, yo, come over here. I need to talk to you. Show me your papers. It's not like Logan's Run. But it means if somebody's pulled over for something, they could absolutely be asked that. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jaime Barron. He's an immigration lawyer who's handled all aspects of immigration and went through the process himself as he came to the country as a young boy, ultimately was educated here and went through what you know, the hoops that you have to go through. And he's got some interesting thoughts. Can't wait to talk to him. That's coming up in our next segment. So there are rallies also getting underway. This weekend, it's going to be a rally-type weekend. The protesters are out in force, I believe, in some of our major cities, one of them being Dallas, where at least 150,000 are expected. But in Chicago, they're talking about it. In New York, they're talking about it. In 70 different cities, they're calling it May Day and planning rallies. And if you look at your calendar, it's kind of perfect because coming up before Mother's Day weekend, of course, you have Cinco de Mayo, but the weekend is when you want to really hit people. We've seen these rallies before. The rallies happened 4 years ago. That was what I was alluding to at the top of this one. and nothing happened. Was awareness raised? Perhaps. But nothing happened with immigration. And this immigration fight, certainly, as it is a hot potato, puts both parties at risk. Remember, you always have to follow the money, and you go back to the politics of the whole thing. So while this continues to brew in Arizona, now it's starting to be bounced around the halls of Congress once again. Immigration reform is absolutely deadly for some in the midterm elections, which, you know, handful of months away, really, if you think about it, before you know it, it'll be November. So Republicans are trying to, in my mind anyway, we've seen that, they're trying to gain some of the ground that they've lost with Hispanics in this country. And the population, it's the fastest growing minority that we have. You can't question that. The numbers certainly prove that out. So how brutal of a blunt blow would it be when you talk about the possible debate and you talk about this immigration crackdown in Arizona when this was passed? What this ultimately will do, like the Republican legislators, the ones who pushed it through in Arizona, and then Republican governor. Now you take this on the national front with jobs at stake. And this is why there's all the shuffling of the feet, unless it's a perfect issue for them. Example is the Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid. He's got a horrible reelection campaign. It's an uphill battle in Nevada for him. So taking up immigration is perfect for Harry Reid because he'll say, absolutely, amnesty, whatever. He'll say, fling open the doors, because he knows that this would pay off for him in the end. So in Reid's case, the push would be, let's do this. But there are other examples of how it will kill some of the other races, which it makes it interesting for those midterm elections, doesn't it? So you think about the Tea Party. You think about the grassroots group around the country and some of the rallies that have happened with people going to the Tea Parties, where it's excited a lot of conservatives and Republicans. And then there's people that don't carry a card for either party, the independents. Some of them have come out to some of the Tea Party events, whether they're organized or not organized, depending on when it is and where it is. But this is a hot button, and this is a big political danger point for Republicans, because if you, in some of the areas where Republicans would oppose immigration reform and back the Arizona law, which we do, we've talked about that here on this show, you're going to have a lot of Hispanic groups who are going to go out in force and try to rally the vote in a different direction. So I'm going to be curious to see politically how this plays out. I mean, immigration is the ultimate litmus test. And some Republicans will be playing with fire for their long-term political future. They run the risk of alienating a growing population. And not every Hispanic, and lumping everybody in, and Latino in the country, is saying, yeah, just open the gates, swing the gates open. That's not true. Ask the conservative Cuban core of people in Miami how they feel about it, and they have a much different take on it. But this is playing out in all kinds of directions. Coming up next, we're talking to the immigration lawyer just about that very thing. Stay with us.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Are you considering taking herbal supplements instead of overpriced and potentially dangerous pharmaceutical drugs, but just not sure where to start? Are you confused by the thousands of products and brands? What if you could find what you're looking for in herbal supplements from one source without the guesswork? You can at researchedherbs.com. Products at researchedherbs.com are backed by over 1,100 clinical trials, endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. And our products are manufactured by a family-owned company that's been around for 80 years and makes 20 billion herbal pills every year. All that means trust, safety, and assurance for you. The journey to better health begins and ends at researchedherbs.com. Call us toll-free at 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486. ResearchedHerbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Arizona has been in the national spotlight for more than 2 weeks, but really, especially as all of you know, we've talked about here on ATN, after Governor Brewer signed a law that requires local and state law enforcement types to question people about their immigration status if there's reason to suspect that they're in the country illegally. Breaking news today, a referendum launched Wednesday could put the law on hold, actually, until 2012 if organizers gather more than 76,000 signatures by early August. There's all kinds of aspects of this. I'm going to get into them tonight, including Texas now thinking of doing the same thing Arizona is doing. So joining us on the air, immigration attorney Jaime Barron. He has essentially dealt with all aspects of immigration, and we're happy to have him on the show. Jaime, thanks for popping on with us. We do really appreciate the time.
Thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
First, let's talk about, because people are going to wonder this, and you and I talked off the air about it. Tell us your path to making your way to the United States.
Well, I'm an immigrant from Mexico. It took me over 11 years to immigrate, and it's called a fourth preference derivative. That means that my aunt, who's a U.S. citizen, filed papers for my mom. And thank God I was under 21 on that date, and I was able to immigrate with my family. And then from there, I was living in Brownsville, Texas, and went to law school, and that's where I practiced law in Dallas, Texas.
And you decided, given your path, as you said, like the 11 years, that you were going to handle, and especially your background, you came from Mexico, that you were going to go into the immigration side of the law. Is that part of the reason why?
Yes, exactly. I'm bilingual. I speak English. I speak Spanish, and I could identify with the issues relating to immigrants. So it was an easy fit, and that's what attracted me to the immigration law after law school.
And you've handled everything from people who are going to get deported to problems getting through the system, right?
Exactly. I'm a board-certified immigration attorney here in Texas. Basically, I deal with everything from the richest person wanting to invest maybe $1 million to a person from low socioeconomic background that's getting deported, everything from rich to poor, from every single nationality. I've helped people from, I think, over 90 nationalities now.
Wow. I thought it'd be helpful to let everybody know your background listening across the United States to this conversation we're having. And when you heard about this law in Arizona that was signed last Friday, because that's when the governor actually inked it. Of course, it doesn't kick in for 90 days, and you heard me mention it could actually be put on ice if this referendum's launched, and there's lawsuits and other things going on. But when you first initially heard about it, what was your reaction?
Well, I don't agree with the law. I think it's just a show from the governor and the state of Arizona to try to ask the federal government to get involved in this immigration issue. I think it repeats a lot of the immigration law that exists already, and it's delegating the federal powers of the immigration officers to the local law enforcement agencies. The problem there is that that's why we have the Immigration Service, for them to deal, because they're properly trained to deal with immigration issues, and we have local law enforcement to apply the law. Here, the problem is you're involving federal law with state officers, and that's basically unconstitutional.
And as I mentioned, the lawsuits, people are starting to come out of the woodwork, including the mayor of Phoenix, who's talking about that very same thing. Given your background, I think this goes all the way to the Supreme Court anyway, but do you think there would probably be an injunction because of the challenges?
Yes, I believe so. I was reading something in the morning that the Department of Justice is probably going to get involved, and it will sue the state of Arizona. And basically, it's the federal government saying, hey, state, you know, deal with state laws. Let us deal with the federal matters. And it's a very complicated issue, but I think it's not proper. You know, and you get involved with the issues of racial profiling, and that it looks like there's going to be discrimination, and that's the biggest fear.
That the country that you've grown to love would become a country that would just discriminate randomly is what some people are worried about, and by people walking down the street or whatnot, even though it's been explained to me that Jaime, that wouldn't happen, but that's the fear that it would be carried over that far.
Correct. I'm not saying, for example, that a police officer is going to be bad and abuse with intent the power. What I'm saying is, let's say I'm a police officer and they tell me, okay, you now have the power to stop anyone you think is not legally in the country. Well, you know, there might be some people that anybody could think that they are illegal in this country, but the majority, you know, you don't know who's legally and who's legal in the country. So the problem is, as a U.S. citizen, I'm walking down the street, and they stop me without reasonable cause, without suspicion of me committing a crime. And let's see how many U.S. citizens enjoy being stopped and asked for their papers. It's going to be a touchy issue for U.S. citizens.
Yeah. And with everything that you dealt with, you know, in like I said, deportation issues and whatnot, and you've seen some of the stories, you've seen some of the sad stories, and you've probably, I'm sure, seen some of the stories where you thought somebody should have been deported, I'm thinking. Because, you know, what happens is, and we've talked about here on America Tonight, is the concern over, like, the rancher who was killed.
Sure.
And the fact that you have, and he was a good Samaritan guy. He was trying to help so many of the people that were abused
right.
in coming over.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, God bless his soul. He was a good guy. There's no question about it. And you know this with the gang activity that now has flourished and the drug pipeline that has come through. So you understand,
absolutely.
And you did say that. You understood that the governor is, that's what I said. I think that it's just a cry for help. Like, look, we asked for the National Guard. We're in trouble here, folks. What do we do? Do you put this back on the feds, that the fact that they haven't dealt with this? Because 4 years ago, there was rallies all over the country in Dallas and Vegas and Chicago, everywhere. And here we are in the same spot. We haven't moved.
Correct, and I agree with you. What we see a lot of people in advocacy groups asking for comprehensive immigration reform, they're not asking for amnesty, forgive everyone and let everyone in. It's a balancing act. As previously President Bush had stated, and now President Obama is stating, that there has to be a balancing act with enforcement of the law. Me being an attorney, I made an oath to apply the law. So I believe in enforcement of the law, absolutely. Immigration law is the law. It has to be enforced. But at the same time, you cannot deport everyone. We have to be realistic. There's maybe 12 to 15 million illegal aliens in this country, and there has to be a creation of a system to put them back into the system, to pay more taxes, to be proper in paying for the health insurance. And there has to be a balancing act between enforcement but the humanitarian side of allowing them to be incorporated into the nation. And that's the biggest fight. When we hear, hey, we want comprehensive immigration reform, what we're asking is a proper balancing act of enforcement and legalization for millions of people who are good and profitable and pay taxes and should be allowed into this country.
Yeah, well said. There's going to be a May Day. There are big rallies planned in 70 cities. Do you think we're going to see some big turnouts?
Well, I hope President Obama is watching and a lot of our congresspersons to realize that both sides of the agenda, conservatives and liberals, are asking for a change in the law. And I think there's enough room and there's the ability to compromise to be allowed, to have the enforcement side with a legalization side. I hope this awakens our congresspersons to be motivated to push into the forefront a change in immigration law. I think this is going to be good for the country. The people who are legalized are going to pay a lot of fines, and they're going to be allowed to get into the system, pay more taxes, and hopefully we get out of the recession with 15 million more people paying more taxes.
Do you think, because I've talked to people, I know people that are here legally, and I know people that are here illegally as well. We've talked to, in fact, some on America Tonight. And the ones that are here illegally that are under the wire say that the ones that I know said that they would pay the fines, they would do all that. But then I hear from other people, and I have heard from a couple of the other people that they would say, forget it, we're just going to go back. We're going to go back to Mexico, we're going to go back to Venezuela, we're going to go back to wherever because we don't want to have to pay. What do you think it's kind of 50-50, or do you think more people will jump at becoming a citizen?
Well, I've seen immigrants from all ranges and all nationalities for the last 11 years, and 90%, I'm going to say, would pay the system, would pay the penalties, whatever it required to legally immigrate to the United States. The vast majority, even though they are illegal, love the U.S. The U.S., in my opinion, is the best country on planet Earth, and it allows so many millions of people who have nothing to, become millionaires. So it's the same patriotic attitude of immigrants to this country, but they just don't have papers.
Well said. We're going to end on that note. Jaime Barron, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTown. TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com. Or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
The Attorney General says the Justice Department is all of it. We're reviewing the whole thing, meaning the law in Arizona. By the way, if you remember, the immigration bill will get sussed out eventually once they come to the table with another immigration bill or tweak the 2007 immigration bill, which failed, as we remember, right? It would have cost $30 billion over 5 years, including $20 billion for enforcement. And according to the CBO, back then, 3 years ago, the bill would have added $15 billion to the federal deficit. Oh, please, can we just add more to this deficit? That would be fabulous, wouldn't it? I mean, come on. So now we'll see whatever, if in fact on the Hill, the fire has been lit, the fuse is there, and boom, they're going to go for it. I think now even, it's interesting, the White House had a statement, or actually the president himself is saying, I don't know if we're going to be able to tackle that this year. Lawmakers had a tough year. They're exhausted. They don't have time to take up immigration. He didn't say the exhausted part, but he said it had a tough year. So, I mean, come on. And if you look at immigration reform, probably U.S. taxpayers, it would probably cost about $90 billion a year, because you've got to think about what happens with the lower skilled immigrants and what happens to take, you heard me talking to Jaime there, what takes the full legalization process. So, you know, benefit wise, you're probably talking, I saw a great figure today, probably an average of $4 in benefits for every $1 paid in taxes, because you're going to have millions and millions of very poorly educated people that will be thrown into the welfare system. Just something to keep in mind. There's this other thought, too, which is a fair or foul that I'm going to throw at you right here from the get-go. But, and you can chime in on this one, 800-259-5791. But we've talked about this for a while now. Duncan Hunter wants to deport U.S.-born children of illegals, but he's not alone and wants to change the Constitution. Because if you look at the Constitution, we're talking about the 14th Amendment. There's about 90 congressional representatives, including like Brian Bilbray, he's in San Diego. A lot of the California guys are saying this. They want to support federal legislation to eliminate automatic citizenship for kids born on U.S. soil, as we call them, anchor babies. But you would have to have that change to the 14th Amendment. So imagine the legal precedents that would be thrown out because of things that have happened in the past. And I do think this could go all the way up to the Supreme Court if there was enough mustard behind it. But I'm not so sure that they'll get to that point anytime soon, because this is a serious proposal to change the Constitution. It would mean you would need at least one parent to be a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident or an immigrant serving in the armed forces. Theoretically, that could help build up the troops, I guess, right? And this was introduced, actually, last year. People forget about this. There are things that have been thrown out there, and it's completely stalled in Congress. Completely stalled. And, as I said, highly toxic for those who want nothing to do with it. They just want to leave it alone. But in California, they're drowning because of the anchor babies. And certainly it's not the only place, but really in California. So it's an interesting fair or foul. Deport the kids of those that are here illegally. You know, what do you think? I think it's an uphill battle at best, really. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. What's the rule in Canada? You don't have any of those anchor babies.
None. I haven't heard anything yet. What had happened yesterday, there was a case involving a lady from Guinea. She moved here to escape, you know, poverty and all kinds of other stuff. And her late husband had beaten her and all that, so she was escaping that as well. Okay, so she meets a gentleman here. They get married. They have a child. She's pregnant. Excuse me, all that yelling tonight at the TV. I think we know why, but we'll get to that.
Wait, we'll get to that in a second, yeah.
Yeah. And she also has type 2 diabetes and is pregnant.
Oh.
So originally yesterday she was on her way to the airport about an hour before she's supposed to board her flight. Her lawyer comes in and says, oh, we got to stay because of her condition. And because if she goes back, her late husband's family might beat her up. Or if she has the baby, they might kidnap her and say, hey, you know, you had an affair, you know, the usual BS. So right now she's here on a stay pending an appeal. So we also have those problems too. And I remember one time, this is about, 30 years ago, a friend of mine was looking for a job. And what we're not hiring right now, he sees all these immigrants, and he wants to be an SOB. He calls Immigration Canada, goes to this particular and Immigration Canada goes to this particular clothing manufacturer. They were shut down because 3/4 of the people were, you know, oh, I forgot my card, I don't have it. Yeah, you're illegal. Nice try. Or I love telling this story. I umpire Little League Baseball as well, right?
Sure.
Okay, so one time there was a game going on, higher caliber, and there were a whole bunch of guys playing volleyball out in the field. And I said to the gentlemen, there's a game going on. Your game is over. 10 more minutes. Gentlemen, your game's over. 7 more minutes. I said, gentlemen, your game is over. If you don't move, I'm going to call employment. And then I yelled at the top of my lungs, immigration! They said, game's over, and they all left.
Of course they left. Hey, speaking of games over, how about this? Do we have some applause from the people back in Minnesota? They don't even know what they're applauding. They're just going to, just on cue, they're going to do it. Because your Canadians won. They beat the Washington.
Yeah.
They beat them 2-1 in Game 7. What a stunner. Although, you know, some people are upset with the Canadian folks about the whole booing thing for the national anthem. What was the scoop on that?
The people were applauding. Could you repeat that, please?
What happened was, in one of the games up in Montreal, the Canadian fans booed the national anthem when they played it.
What's the national anthem?
The American national anthem.
Okay, that must have been the hardcore Pekists who think, you know, I know some people are really super hardcore who they should only play the Quebec national anthem. None of this O Canada, none of the Star Spangled Banner. So that's who.
Okay.
That's who it was. It'd be just like. I don't know if I told you this recently, a friend of my brother and sister-in-law were up here for Passover, and he said that Quebec is like Nazi Germany. And I went, how so? Well, you're forced to speak a language. I said, excuse me. I'm allowed to go to my place of worship. My brother's allowed to have his business.
Yeah.
You know, so when Jewish stars, just because, well, he says, you don't like me because I'm from Ontario. No, because you think you're better than everybody else because you're from Toronto. People from Toronto, for your American friends, they have this attitude like they either want to be New York North or Los Angeles North just because they happen to have, you know, plays there and that the NFL's coming up to play another regular season game. At $350 a ticket, I don't think I want to go.
Boy, no kidding. Sam, we got a log jam here, but congratulations on those Canadians. Thanks, and we'll talk to you in the next show.
Okay, take care, gorgeous.
All right, thanks. Let's go to Tom in Texas. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, listen, you know, I watch the Link channel and the Free Speech channel on Dish Network a lot. And I was watching a program about the immigration, and they said that the president in 2005, which would have been George Bush, and the president of Canada, and the president of Mexico and Central America and Northern South America have all already signed an open borders agreement, which in the future this will be called the Union of Americas. Now, what do you think about that?
Union of Americas? I want to see a copy of that. I didn't see that show. Tom, interesting. Open it up the creative Pandora's box of a kind of down that same path of the New World Order. And the open borders would be disastrous. That's what it would be. It would be disastrous if we had open borders, although we could laughably say we already do have open borders, don't we? But there's no way. There's no way you could support that, certainly, in the United States. We see what's happening now and how we're crumbling, and you heard me give you some of the numbers of correcting this immigration problem. If you were to go with the overhaul, if you were to do this pathway to citizenship and what it would take for the 12 million to 17 million, because I think that number's higher. I don't think 12's right. I think it's 17 million. And at a time of this unemployment that we're facing and the federal debt and all that sort of stuff, what would the impact be? And it doesn't matter, left, right, in between, whatever. The amount that you're talking about is with, you know, 60% of illegal immigrants that don't even have high school diplomas. Remember I said that with the low wages. Typically what you would be talking about is they'd be earning, you know, 15 to maybe 20,000 a year, something like that. So in some of the cases, they would qualify for the welfare programs that I mentioned. And under that, you don't need to pay federal income tax to qualify for it. And so think of where I'm headed here. Congress, here's the thing. Almost anyone illegally has what do they give you? 6 months to vacate? And if you think about it, and you look at the Constitution, if the Constitution has changed so the kids can't become automatic citizens, you have stiff fines for hiring them, you increase the Border Patrol massively because that has to happen, would that really still change the immigration problem at this point? So I was mentioning, fair or foul, is it time for a really serious overhaul? Hang with us.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. a special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at doobleshoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain, except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at doublyshoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at doublyshoppers.com. That's DUBLI shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
As the U.S. and the world slip slowly into economic and financial gridlock, some economists predict a global financial meltdown and economic collapse worse than we have ever seen. Don't wait for the edicts to start coming out of Washington, D.C. before you begin to fill your pantry. Prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now. Ready Reserve Food has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for nearly 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish, with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog, but we will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us to prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now at 800-453-2202 for your free catalog now.
It's been over a decade ago since we watched in utter disbelief. I can remember where I was. I was in the middle of a newsroom when the students were fleeing from Columbine High School in Colorado and the shooting spree inside that claimed the lives of too many innocent victims. Oof, what a day. One of the first victims was a girl named Rachel Scott. After her death, her parents discovered an essay that she had written about a chain reaction of kindness. Can you imagine that? That somehow was caught underneath the bed in the bed springs. Now it's like the gift that keeps on giving. Schools across the country were made aware of it, and they have taken up Rachel's challenge. One of the first schools to do it was Rockwall ISD in Texas. And Dr. Gene Burton joins us. He's the superintendent of Rockwall Schools. Thanks for coming on, and you're getting ready for this next challenge, and so this was perfect timing. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kate, for having us on the air tonight with you. Yes, we are in our third year with our partnership with Rachel's Challenge in Rockwall ISD.
What drew your attention to this? How did this all come about for you?
Well, actually, we had an invitation to a preview event in a neighboring school district here in Texas, and our director of guidance and counseling and assistant superintendent for administrative services went over and saw the preview event, and they came back to me and just said, Dr. Burton, this is the most amazing story, the most powerful story, most compelling story we've ever heard. We need this for our kids in Rockwall. And so I just asked them to explore it. And we continue to move forward with that. And now we've just blossomed into a great partnership with Rachel's Challenge. Like I say, this is our third year of that partnership.
And what was it like? I mean, that's great. The story, the background is incredible, isn't it? I'm sure. I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to speak to her parents, but I think it is an amazing gift that was, as I said, that was given back to them, because what a horrible thing for them to deal with. But yet she still is alive in the minds of so many people, and more people, I think, are getting to know her through the challenge. And I think that's part of what attracts so many people to this, don't you?
Yes, it's just a very compelling story, and unfortunately it is a true story, but it's a very inspirational story. And Daryl Scott, the father of Rachel, he and I have actually, we're very good friends. And I get to talk to him on a regular basis, once or twice a week, and just keep up with what's going on across the country, as well as their efforts to try to spread the word to other countries as well. But just a man with a pure spirit, with sharing the life of his daughter, and you know, really turning a tragedy into a triumph. It's just amazing.
And what did you tell the kids? Did you have assemblies to tell them about her story and what you were doing? How did that play out the first year?
Yeah, the first year, and it's a K-12 program. Initially, it was a secondary program when we were introduced to it, grade 7 through 12. And then that's actually how we became a partner with Rachel's Challenge, that we had three counselors and our director of guidance and counseling that actually developed the curriculum for elementary school, because we felt like we need to have our kids at the elementary level exposed to this story about being kind and compassionate. But the assembly is a one-hour assembly with all students, elementary, middle school, and secondary. And those programs vary. You know, you don't focus on the violence. You focus on the life of Rachel and how she treated other people. And then, you know, like you said, her writings and her journals were just powerful. In fact, they resemble the reflections of Anne Frank diaries. It's just so powerful with her messages. And you have the assembly, and Daryl and his group of speakers go across the country and meet with students in an assembly for an hour. And then after that, they have a training, leadership training program that day with a cross-section of students at those particular campuses. And then in the evening, they have a community-wide parent assembly, if you will, to make an awareness of what their children heard that day. And then throughout the year, those students are charged with forming what they call a four club, Friends of Rachel. And then they just have leadership and development, student service projects, just recognizing students when they do good things for other people. And it's just very powerful.
And, of course, one of the things that you are doing, too, it's interesting with Rockwall, you're putting together in, you know, paying things forward. You're putting together 1 million meals to send to Haiti. How did you choose that as what you were going to focus on?
Well, that's an interesting idea that Daryl Scott had. He actually introduced Rockwall ISD with Kids Against Hunger. And they're an international nonprofit group that over the last 10 or 11 years, they've provided over 120 million meals to 60 countries. And he actually introduced Kids Against Hunger as a partner in our Rachel's Rally. And so the idea is that we're going to package 1 million meals in one day in Rockwall, and we're going to take about 25% of those and have in food banks here in the North Texas area, and then the others we're going to go to Haiti. And we hope that this will be an annual event, and next year we hope to go into another city in the United States and every year just keep spreading the word. And the idea that Daryl had was mobilizing the youth of America to address world hunger.
What a great idea, and I can imagine it. It sounds like you're obviously very enthusiastic about it, and I know people are listening to us across the country, and some of their kids have been involved in their different school districts in all kinds of efforts. I think it's just a great thing, Doctor, that kids are learning early about volunteering and helping, by that they can make a difference. And do you see that with the kids? Are they getting that? Because you said K through 12, so that's terrific. You're starting early.
Yes, ma'am. Our kids get it. Our families get it. Our teachers get it. Our bus drivers get it. Everyone gets it. You know, I have been in education 34 years. I've been in Rockwall 16 years, and the last 9 as a superintendent. And seeing the community come together and rally around the cause and not just make it a one-time event, but make it a way of living, the way you treat people, the way you conduct your business, the way you talk to each other, the way you embrace differences, the way you encourage and appreciate diversity. I mean, all those things come into play, just the way you handle things. And it's been an amazing journey here in Rockwall to see our community, our Chamber of Commerce, our parents, our teachers, and all of our employees, and especially our students, how they respond. We've kind of have gathered the idea. It gives kids permission to do the right thing.
Yeah, what a great thought. Yeah, I hope people are listening to this and are going to take this back to some of their schools if they aren't already doing that. Because I think that's a terrific message to end on. And what a great thing, Rachel's challenge. There are other schools doing it too. Rockwall ISD, one of the first to jump on board. Look how big it's gotten. Dr. Gene Burton, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having us, and we wish you well.
Thank you. All right, it's nice to lighten the load there and find out what some kids are doing across the country, particularly when you can make the crossover from what happened at Columbine. And, wow, what a great story about finding her wishes underneath the bed. Like I said, I think that was a true gift to her parents. Well, a lot of people are looking for the Pope to gift them with an apology. Pope Benedict might do that in our quick hits. He says he didn't say it that way, but Cardinal Laveda says that he intends to hold up the U.S. policy dealing with abuse as a model for bishops around the world, and is talking about the Vatican, the Pope specifically, talking about the handling of abuse cases. Ooh, that would be pretty big if that were to come to pass. Benedict has expressed his sorrow and shame for the abuse, and he said he wept with the victims and promised new measures to protect children and bring justice to pedophile priests, but he hasn't admitted any personal or even institutional for Catholicism responsibility for what's happened in the system all those years, blaming instead the abusers themselves and not the bishops. See, the bishops were the ones who shuffled the priests on to other parishes, and then it got that much worse for people in other areas. The saddest story was the 200 deaf kids in Wisconsin. I think that was the final straw for so many people. I'm going to leave you with a final thought on illegal immigration, the problem anyway. It was Ben Franklin who said, "I haven't failed. I've found 10,000 ways that didn't work. It's time to find something that works."